Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil, connected to Parashat Toledot. We are learning about the subject of being a balanced person and what exactly that means. Sometimes that word is somewhat misused. Sometimes people say balanced, that means you shouldn't become too great. Obviously, we're learning that's not what it means. But it does have a lot of value to be a balanced person. And there are many areas of life where a person needs to balance himself. Because one wrong move can sink his ship. And that's why a great person is compared to a large ship that has the balance of the merchandise from one side to the other.
One of the contradictions, or at least what seems like a contradiction in the Torah, is in the beginning of Sefer Bemidbar. Over there, the Pasuk says, Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe Bemidbar Sinai. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the desert of Sinai. Over there, the Baal HaTurim makes a comment at the end of Sefer Vayikra, the end of Parashat Bechukotai, the words are the last pasuk. Ele ha-mitzvot. The end of Sefer Vayikra, it's a book of mitzvot. Ele ha-mitzvot, these are the mitzvot, asher tziva Adonai et Moshe el Bnei Yisrael. The mitzvot that Hashem commanded Moshe to tell the Jewish people, Behar Sinai. And then it opens, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai. So it ends with Ele ha-mitzvot. These are the mitzvot. And then it starts telling us about the desert of Sinai. So the Baal HaTurim says there is a connection between the end of Sefer Vayikra to the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. The Sefer of the desert. The word Bamidbar means desert. So you have the Sefer of Mitzvot, that's Sefer Vayikra, that ends with Ele HaMitzvot. I don't think he's only connecting the end Pesukim. I think it's the book of Vayikra is all about Mitzvot as the way it ends. And the book of Bamidbar is about the Jewish people in the desert. And that's how it starts, Bamidbar. So says the Baal HaTurim, what's this connection between the book of mitzvot and the book of the desert? What was that all about? So he says, Lomar, to teach you, Im en adam mesim atzmo kamidbar, if a person doesn't view himself as a desert, eno yachol lida Torah u'mitzvot, he's not capable, and he will not be capable of knowing Torah and fulfilling the mitzvot. If you're not a desert, you cannot fulfill Sefer Vayikra. So you just finished Sefer Vayikra, you learned all the laws of the Torah. Well, Sefer Bamidbar comes to tell you, with all that you learn, it doesn't make a difference in your ability to live according to the mitzvot of Sefer Vayikra. You may have learned it. You may have actually checked the box. But says the Baal HaTurim, Torah is telling you, if you're not like a desert, then you won't be able to fulfill the Torah and mitzvot. You won't have a real understanding and a real ability to connect to the Torah and mitzvot.
What does it mean to be like a desert? Always remember, Vayikra Bamidbar. Vayikra, the book of mitzvot. Bamidbar, the book of the desert. There's a connection, like the Baal HaTurim says. Make yourself like a desert. In fact, this also explains why Hashem gave the Torah to Am Yisrael in the desert. We would have thought that such an event would be in a much more lively place, a place that has life. Torah is Etz Hayimi. Hashem is giving the Torah, which is a tree of life. If you're giving the tree of life, so you would think you're going to be surrounded by life, like trees, nice palm trees all around, like springs of water, like Niagara Falls. Imagine the Torah is being given, and all of what gives life is all around. Trees, water, whatever, live animals walking around, life. It's Hayimi. What better place to give the book of life than in a place where there's life? So be it's a nice setting. That's what party planners would have done. They would have chosen a place where there is a lot of life, since they know that this book is called Etz Hayim. It's called a tree of life. But the Torah, the creator of the world, when he planned his party, he did it in the desert. He didn't make life in the desert. He just chose the desert as his setting. No trees, no water, no people, just a desert. There's nothing in the desert. The desert is dead and nothing there. That's where Hashem chose to give the Torah to Am Yisrael. How could that be? This is Hashem's party. This is the wedding of the Jewish people to the creator of the world. Who would make their wedding in a desert? There's nothing there. Why would Hashem choose that? It's a very big question. And it's not like they were pressed for a time and they had, like, Hashem could take them wherever they were coming from. He wants to give it in the land of Israel. Great. You want to give it outside? There are plenty of cities over there that Hashem could have given it. He could have taken them to Tiberia, could have taken them to Syria. He could have taken it to Lebanon, go to Beirut. I mean, there's a lot of life in the Middle East. It's not all desert, and it's not far away. So obviously, when Hashem gave it in the desert, it was clearly by design. You could say Hashem didn't give it to us in the land of Israel because Hashem didn't want to make our nation dependent on the land. That we can understand. That's why we say in Alenu Leshabea, Shelo asanu kegoyei ha'aratzot. Hashem did not make us like the nations of the lands. What does that mean, the nations of the lands? Doesn't every nation have a land like us? So what do you mean he didn't make us? Shelo asanu kegoyei ha'aratzot. He didn't make us like the nations of the eretz, of the land. Velo samanu kemishpechot ha'adama. And he didn't make us like the families of the adama, of the earth. What does that mean? To say we're not like the goyim, we understand. But why is he connecting it to the aratzot, to the adama? So the simple answer is because the nations of the world, every one of them, their connection to each other is their land. That's what makes them united. That's what makes them a nation. Whether it's the Italians or it's the British or the French, their connection to each other, what makes them French, what makes them Italian, is their land. The land is what unites them. They fight for the land. They occupy the land. The land is the source of their nationality. But our nation is not that way. We became a nation before we had a land. So our land, although a very important part of our existence, but it was not there when we became a nation. Our nation is not kegoye ha'aratzot. We're not like the nations that became a nation through land. Kemishpehot ha'adama. We became a nation with something much bigger. We became a nation through the Torah. And then we went to the land. So Hashem doesn't want to give it in the land of Israel. We understand. So we don't have the same lot as the other nations. We should always remember the Torah is what makes us a nation, not the land. Great. But still, there are plenty of places in the Middle East, plenty of places that Hashem can go where there's plenty of life, but He chose a desert. And why? Because of what the Baal HaTurim says. Can teach us that this Torah that we're getting in Har Sinai, if a person doesn't make himself a desert, if they don't feel like a desert, then they will not be able to live and fulfill the Torah the way it's meant to be lived. What does it mean to feel like a desert? It means that a person has to feel empty. You have to feel like you're zero. Just like a desert has nothing. If a person feels like a zero, if you feel like a desert, then you could become something. Then you will have a hunger, a thirst, a desire for more, because you know you're a zero. But once you think that you are accomplished, once you're accomplished, then you become satisfied. If you become satisfied, you don't have a hunger to do more. This is the obvious reality of complacency that we see around us, where people are satisfied where they are in life. You might think it's only 90-year-old great rabbis that are satisfied. But the truth is, the 90-year-old rabbis, the great ones, are not satisfied. But who do you see satisfied? You could have a 13-year-old satisfied. You could have a 20-year-old satisfied. You could have a 30-year-old satisfied. We see satisfaction in life in the satisfaction of who the person is, the character of the person, and the spiritual and the accomplishments of a person. There's a lot of satisfaction out there. When a person is satisfied, then they don't have a hunger to grow. It's not that they don't grow, it's that they don't even have a desire to grow. It's like a person who's not hungry to eat. If you're not hungry to eat, you're not going to eat. The reason why you eat is because you're hungry. And if a person is not hungry for growth, then they're not going to grow. Growth begins with hunger. So says the Torah, listen, if you're going to feel like a zero, a midbar is a zero. If you feel like a zero, then you could become something. But so long as you feel accomplished, so then game over. Once you feel you're good enough, once you feel you've done a lot in your life, you look back in your life and you say, look what I accomplished. Look what I did. You look back at your week, at your month, at your day, and you say, Baruch Hashem, beautiful. The more a person feels satisfied, the less hungry he will become to learn more, to grow more, to become a greater person. A human being is not born great. A human being is born like Adama, like the dirt that needs plowing, it needs cleaning, it needs planting, it needs constant attention to be able to grow. Adama, if you walk on a plot of Adama, there's nothing there. But if a person takes care of the Adama, you will have tremendous life and growth. That's why we're called Adam. We're called Adam because we're like the Adama.
a human who looks like a desert, if he puts in the necessary avodah, he will become something very, very big and something very fruitful. So a human being that's satisfied, he's basically selling himself short. He's not recognizing what he could be. That's the Torah's advice. If you feel like a nothing, then you will do something. If you feel like something, then you'll do nothing. That's the message. Sefer Bamidbar. Now you know why it's called Bamidbar. To remind us of this reality.
Now, unfortunately, in the world we live today, there are too many people that feel like nothings. And we don't see them that they're really growing. We don't see they're becoming great people. There are many people who feel like nothing that are sitting somewhere in a cave drinking or taking drugs. People who feel like nothing, they walk around with no ambition. That's a very tricky feeling. If you feel like a nothing, so then how could you accomplish? Part of feeling like a nothing is that you don't feel like you have any capabilities. So this is very dangerous. You tell a guy, tell your son, you know something, you're a zero. You're a zero, zero, zero. I just want you to know that. You don't do anything good. You're not anything. That's going to motivate people to become something when they look in the mirror and they see a nothing. The general attitude of a human is if they look in the mirror and they see nothing, then they will become nothing. So this is a very dangerous piece of advice. You're telling people, guys, ladies and gentlemen, from now on, when you look at yourself, remember you're a zero. In Hebrew, we call that shiflut. Shiflut means a person who is low. When a person looks at himself as low, that's why he acts like a low person. The image of a person is what decides their actions. People don't think every day, every second about what they do. People have an image of themselves. And according to that image, that's how they make decisions. If the image of themselves is a very elevated, mechubad image, so every time a decision is made, or every time a decision needs to be made, they're always checking, does this act fit with this image? Does this word I'm about to say, does it fit with the image of who I am? So wait, that doesn't fit, I don't say that. And if a person does say it, it's because his image of himself, it's a good fit. When we make decisions all day long, we don't go through the whole subject of each item and discuss, is it right for me? It's not like, it's much simpler. The way the human works is he has an image of himself based on whatever history he has or knowledge that he has. Whatever the reason, he has an image of himself. I am this kind of guy. There are billions of images, all different combos. Each person here has an image of who they are. Who are you? I'm this kind of guy. I'm that kind of guy. I'm this kind of guy. My kindness is this much. My refinement is that much. Everyone's got their own little image of themselves. And as life decisions come, they will decide according to the image that they have of themselves. What fits, what doesn't fit, what goes, what doesn't go. That's the way it works. So you tell a guy now, listen, sir, you want to become something? You have to look at yourself like you're a zero. Let me tell you something. A guy who sees himself as a zero, he's going to act in life like a zero. Because every decision that comes his way, he says, well, does that fit for a zero? If it's a good thing, no, that's not a zero item. That's for great people. I don't do those things. He's going to do zero type things. So imagine, we have a whole book called Sefer Bamidbar that's telling people to look at themselves as zeros, and it's extremely dangerous. This is very dangerous. There are people who actually took this advice and they lost their way. Shiflut. Shiflut means you look at yourself as a low person that is not a very healthy ship. So we're stuck. We got a big problem. We need to understand. Maybe we're missing something. Actually, in that same parasha of Sefer Bamidbar, the next pasuk, you don't have to go far. Maybe the creator was worried that we would misunderstand what the word Midbar means. And therefore, literally, the next pasuk says, Se'u, go and raise et rosh kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I am asking you, I'm commanding you to raise the head of each person of Am Yisrael. What he really wants them to do is to count every person. This was a count commandment. Go count them. I want to know how many there are. But instead of saying the word count, right, which means limnot, it says se'u. Se'u, lift. Very, very interesting word that replaced the word count. Says the Midrash, why does Hashem, in this instance, when we want to count the Jewish people, why does it say se'u, to lift? Why not limnot, to count? Lisfor, says the Midrash, En se'u ela lashon gedula. The word se'u is a language of gedula. So se'u means lift them. Lift them means make them feel that they are special. Se'u, meaning the counting of the Jewish people, it's not for Hashem to get the number. He doesn't need the Jewish people to count to get the number. They need to be counted. Why do they need to be counted? So they feel like they count. When a person is counted, so he feels like he's counted. He's somebody. And that's why Hashem told him in the same pasuk, be careful when you count them. Bemispar, we need a number. But shemot, bemispar shemot. Make sure you count them by name. You don't say, oh, number one, number two, number three, number four. They're numbers. These people aren't numbers. They're people. They're important. When you give someone value, you say their name. When you say someone's name, it means they're unique. A name gives someone a feeling of, oh wow, like I'm my own. I'm an individual. You give them a number, it's just one of. You give them a name, it's unique. So the Torah says, I warn you, Bemispar Shemot, make sure that you do it with calling each one by name. Means the process of counting the Jewish people was to give them a feeling of gedula, se'u, to make them feel like they are great people. And count them by name, they should recognize their special value, which is obviously a complete contradiction from the first pasuk. Here, we're telling Moshe Rabbeinu, make sure they all have an image of themselves of a great person. When they look in the mirror, they should feel like a great person. So, obviously, there's something off here. And obviously here we see there must be some sort of balance that we're missing. Because if you tell a guy, if a guy sees himself as this great, we got a big problem. Then he won't be hungry for more. A guy sees himself like a desert, big problem. Then he'll act like a low person. So this needs a very important balancing act to understand how does a person who thinks he's great also feel like a desert. This is a very big challenge. But that's why balance is very important. Because you have to know where this line is, because it will make all the difference. So the answer to this question is that actually, one is the one that makes the other. Meaning, it's not possible to feel like a midbar unless you feel that you're great. Meaning, the first pasuk said, listen, you got to feel like a desert. And you want to know how you're going to feel like a desert? When you realize how great you are. Again, listening to that sounds like we're talking things that don't make sense. One more time. Torah says, you got to feel the image, you're a desert. You know how you're going to feel like a desert? When you realize how great you are, which doesn't make really much sense. But the truth is, we have some words that we say. For example, on Yom Kippur, on the vidui of Shahrit, of Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon, we have a bidui that he wrote for himself, a confession that he comes to speak in front of Hashem about how he needs to make teshuvah, Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon. We take his words and we say them for ourselves. And as you read these words, you have to really wonder, who is this man that wrote these words? Because if you don't know, was Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon a great luminary in Am Yisrael? If you didn't know the author, you might have different opinions of who wrote that vidui. Because in that vidui, he says words like, I have no Torah, I have no mitzvah, I have no tzedakah. And then he ends with the most wild line. He says, "And I call ma'asim tovim lo asiti," meaning I didn't do any good deeds in my life. What do you think of that? Even we can't say that. As humble as we would want to be, we would not be able to say we didn't do anything good in our lives. That's a clear lie, sheker. And someone who says that seems to be trying to be extra humble in an arrogant way. You didn't do anything good in your life, really? You didn't pray this morning? You didn't say beracha once? You didn't help someone cross the street? You didn't honor your father and mother one time? You didn't learn Torah once? What do you mean you didn't do anything good in your life? What does that mean? And then you find out the authors have been on the scene, Gaon. They say, what is going on here? It's very hard to say those words. If you know what you're saying, it's very hard to say those words. They seem like such words of sheker that the person saying it, it's hard to say it. Hashem, I didn't do anything good in my life. Wait. I don't really believe that, but I'll say it because it's written in the Mazor. But that's what it feels like. the Ramban, in a letter to his son, said, "Kol adam yiyeh gadol mimcha ba'enecha." He told the son, "Every person you meet should be greater than you in your eyes." That's a big statement. Every person you meet, every person, the young, the old. How can it be? Every person is greater than me. Imagine every person you see, you say, "Oh, that guy is greater than me." Again, another lie. I mean, there are definitely people that are not as great as you. How could that be? What kind of advice is that? Is the Ramban telling his son to live a life of sheker, to lie to himself? So all these questions and more are going to channel us to one very important nekuda in life. If we get the balance correct, we're going to do big things. The only way a person can feel like a healthy desert, like a desert in a healthy way, better said, the only way a person can feel like a desert in a healthy way is they have to know how great they are. You see, when you know how great you are or how great you could be, then you start realizing that what you've done is very, very little compared to what you could have done. And in a sort of exaggeration, it's almost like you did nothing. Because compared to, for example, you have a guy who's a billionaire. Regularly has billions of dollars in the bank. And he gives a check to a very big organization, the biggest check of the year, $10,000. And he's feeling like the biggest Baal Hesed, because this year he gave away $10,000. What would you say about that guy? What did he do? How much Hesed did this year? We would say he did nothing. Nothing, I give $10,000. It's called nothing. Of course, compared to who he is, it's nothing. It's zero. So if you give 10,000 and you think that you're great, it must be you don't know how much money you have in your bank account. You must not know how much you're capable of giving. So the more you know how much capacity you have, then the more like a desert you will feel when you do what you do and what you've accomplished. You'll feel like, wow, okay, I did good, but I could do a lot more. The greater you are in your mind, the more like a desert you'll feel, in the sense that you don't feel your accomplishments are really cutting it in a real way compared to how great you are. Who's the guy who's satisfied from what he does? The guy who doesn't think he's so great. The guy thinks, "I only have 10,000 and I gave 10,000. Okay, feels great. He doesn't know, he didn't check the bank recently. If you check the bank and see how much money he has, you'd realize, oh no, I didn't know. That's nothing. So actually, when a person realizes how great they are and how great they could be, it is only then that they will feel like a desert in a very powerful, healthy way. If a person reads this Vala Turim and reads the Midrash that says you should feel like a desert, you should feel like a zero, without knowing the second Pasuk, so then you're off balance. You're looking at yourself like a zero. It's not helping you. It doesn't help you to tell your son that he's a zero. The opposite. You got to convince your son that he is a gadol.
If you want your son to feel like a zero, how crazy is this? If you want your children to feel like a zero, you have to convince them one way or the other over the years that they are so big and so great. It's the opposite. When you convince them of how great they are, then they realize that what they're doing is not up to par. If you continue to bless them for being zeros, so then you're doing the opposite. And you might take this parasha b'midbar and say, well, I have a proof. It says you have to be a zero. No. It doesn't work like that. Very often when we have children and we're trying to motivate them because we see they're not hungry for more, we see they're just either complacent or maybe even worse than that. We don't see them that they want more. So usually what we do is we keep knocking them. We tell them, you're not doing enough. You're not good enough. And all things of that nature. Because we're trying to lift them. So we keep telling them how low they are, hoping that when they realize they're so low, they're going to want to become so high. But that is not the system. It's like you're working totally opposite of what you're supposed to be doing to get them to where they need to be. The way to make them feel low is to make them feel how great they are. So you see a kid who's not really motivated, he's not feeling like he... The only way you're going to lift him is by showing him, by example. For example, he did something great. Point it out to him. Figure out a way where he sees that you see, when looking at him, that you see a great guy. The way you helped your mother yesterday. It's unbelievable. You know, you're a Baal Chesed. Wow. Can't believe the way you woke up this morning. The way you, whatever it might be. If they see that you see in them something great, they will start to feel like they are nothing in a healthy way. They'll start feeling that they're not really reaching what they could be. The more you knock them about what they're not doing, meaning you're showing them that that's what you see a person who's low, so now they're fully convinced that they're reality of what they think of themselves is actually backed up by his parents and backed up by the people around them. So you're trying to make them hungry by making them feel like a desert. That's why you keep telling them how low they are. But you're not understanding the whole story. You're not balancing the understanding of this subject. You need to build high in order for the person to feel low and hungry.
That's why, by the way, the Hebrew language is so powerful. The Hebrew language, it's so often, if we have the wisdom to extract it, we see how it teaches through words. It's amazing. In Hebrew, the word to count is limnot, like it says by Bil'am, mi mana afar Yaakov, which means who can count the Jewish people? Mi mana. The word mana means to count. But that same word mana also means lemanot, like it says in the pasuk by Daniel, Vayomer Daniel el ha-melzar, asher mina. Who appointed this Meltzar? Who was appointed? The word lemanot, same word. Mana is to count. Lemanot is to appoint. Why is counting appointing? Because when you count someone to make them feel like they count, you count them in that way, Today, we're not going to go count our children. That's not the way you're going to make them feel like they count. But every father and mother and every caring person has to count, meaning has to make their children and students feel like they count. That's what it means to count them. Make them feel like they're important. Oh, when you make someone, when you're limnot, when you count someone, then what happens? Lemanot. Then you're giving them a feeling of responsibility. Lemanot means to appoint. When you give someone a feeling of importance, so what you're doing actually is that you're appointing them in their mind to be responsible to do much more. Same word, counting and appointing. You want to appoint someone to live higher? Yeah, count them. Make them feel like they are countable. When you feel counted, then automatically you feel appointed. You feel, whoa, I got more to do. I'm a Baal Hesed. Wow. So I got to do much more Hesed. I'm a intelligent person. Oh, I got to learn more. Whatever you count a person as, that's called a minui. It's called an appointment. You're not telling him the appointment. You don't appoint him. But automatically, he's becoming appointed through your value that you showed who he is. The same, by the way, the same word. The word pekod in Hebrew is, pekod is to count. Like the Pasuk says. Pasuk says, Mibin Aisrim Shana V'Mala, here in this parasha, Tifkedu. Tifkedu means to count. Tifkedu Otam, count them. But the word in Hebrew, the same word, is Pekuda. Pekuda means an appointment. Ufkatem alehem bemishpelet. Appoint them for this job. Same word. Imagine two words in Hebrew that mean to count, and they both mean to appoint. When someone feels great, it's an appointment to become that person. And they feel hungry to become them. This is the balance. Balance means you understand the subject in a very balanced way. You don't want to make people feel like a desert. That isn't very healthy. You want to make them feel great, which makes them feel, they start to feel that their actions are not enough based on the great person that they are. And then you get them to be hungry. If that's the way a person feels about himself, it's a very healthy ship. If that's the way you get your children to feel about themselves, very healthy. Your whole family is on a healthy ship. People who feel great and therefore feel very hungry because they're so great. Because in their mind, they're so big, not even close to where they should be the way they are right now. And that is, according to many great rabbis, the main difference between Esav and Yaakov. You know, it's interesting how Hashem made the world that when human children are born, they're close to zero in capability. They have very basic ability because that they need, because otherwise they can't survive. Hashem made miracles that they can breathe on their own, well, obviously. Well, they cry when they feel pain. It's a big miracle that they even know how to cry. Remember, they don't know how to talk. But somehow they know how to make the noise of crying. And they know that crying is the way to respond to pain. It's an unbelievable miracle that they know how to cry. That's it. Hashem gave them those things. Everything else, they can't do. They can't even move. They can't even turn. They can't do nothing. Zero. If you look at the animal kingdom, you will find that animals are way more capable at birth than a human being. Animals can go on their feet already day one. They can go and be self-sufficient in a very short time. Humans,
the highest, the greatest of creation are created in the most helpless way. Really, they can't help themselves. Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem make the human, who's supposed to be the purpose of creation, he made him the least capable when he's born, from all the animals? It's an unbelievable thing. It's not a mistake. Every animal's like that. Every animal, except for humans. So the answer to this question is, because a human, from birth, is being trained by the Creator to constantly change, to constantly grow. If Hashem would make a human complete at birth or near complete, it would not give him the proper training to make a great life for himself. So Hashem takes a human and gives him nothing, basically, in the front, in the beginning. And he's constantly learning how to talk, how to walk, how to even take care of his bodily needs, how to ed, how to read, all the things that a child has to go through to develop. Part of that whole purpose is that he learns that life is about developing. That just like you were born undeveloped physically and you work to become developed, there's a whole part of you that needs developing. So we get him in the mode of developing himself. This way, when they become of age 13 and 12, they realize, wow, I need to become developed in my character. I know I'm an angry guy. I know. But I couldn't walk before. But I learned how to walk. So I'm going to learn how to become calm. I know I'm arrogant. I know. But it's okay. But I was also not able to eat before on my own. But I figured it out. So I'm going to figure this out too. Whenever a person is able to use his past experience, it gives him confidence and strength. Hey, I can do that. I did this already. I did many, many years of development. So I know the idea of I'm this way, but I'm going to be something else. I got that already. I've been living through this for 13 years. This is why Hashem made a human that way, because that's really what a human is all about. Constant developing. The most important development of his soul, of his wisdom, of his character, that's what really counts. So Hashem gave him a 13-year exercise in his physical body to develop everything so that he gets into the mode of development, so that they learn how to do that for the rest of their lives. Some point that this was the great challenge of Esav. Esav and Yaakov were twin boys, born at the same time, to the same mother, same father, raised in the same home. How do you have such opposite figures, Esav Arasha and Yaakov Ishtam? How does that work? How does Yaakov become the person who's constantly striving for more? And Esav is a batlan. Batlan means he's interested, but he's not interested. He's hunting. He's playing sports all day. Why is one child a batlan, feeling very satisfied, and one is very motivated? Yoshev ohalim. Ohalim, tents, which means he didn't just sit in one tent. He would go learn from this one, learn from that one. He's constantly looking to grow. What's the difference between these two boys? What was the challenge that Esav had, was given, that obviously brought him down? Everybody's got a challenge in life. Pasuk says in this week's parasha, Parashat Toledot, Pasuk says, Vayetze harishon admoni. This first baby, Esav, came out. He was red. Kulo
Ke'aderet se'ar. Meaning he had a full body of hair. As I'll say, he was developed. So he had teeth. He was developed. He was asui. Now, asui means he was already made. Unlike normal children who need to develop, he was born made. Esau was a big man. He had capabilities to become maybe greater than Yaakov. He was a big man. But every big man is going to have a yetzera to fight that so it should be free choice. Esau was a huge man. What was the challenge that they gave Esau that should be an obstacle to his greatness? A big man that could reach such big things, that can develop himself to be such a big person? His challenge was he grew up asui. He grew up already developed. He didn't have to grow hair like a child. He didn't have to learn how to walk. He was walking in no time. He had teeth. He was already eating. Asui! That lack of development was a very big challenge for Esav and would be for every person because he never had to develop and change from one to another. And that was his challenge. That was God gave him that challenge. He's going to be a big man, but this is going to be nothing Hashem gives doesn't have a free choice and therefore needs to have something against it. He was us. That's why his name is Esav. Esav is asui. He was made. Once a person feels made, so then they don't feel like they need to accomplish anything. And they become a batlad. Now, of course, if Esav would be able to rise above that challenge that Hashem gave him, he would have been a great person. But this was the nekudah that he was not able to climb over. The nekudah of asui. That a person feels like he's done. When you feel like you're done, then you lose your ambition and you don't live up to your potential. And that's the way of Esav. So this is a critical piece of information regarding one's image of themselves and especially how it relates to their children and to their loved ones. Make people feel like they're great. Se'u. And that will develop a hunger for them to become greater. And in that they will reach their great potential. And Hashem helped us when we were younger to develop ourselves in order to be able to continue that path till we're able to reach the highest of heights. Have a wonderful day.